Hello, you're listening to Spoiler-Filled Film Conversation Hooray, or just Spoiler-Filled, if you like. Here is the Film Review Podcast. Yeah, one of those, there's loads. You can check out much better ones and much worse ones all around the internet. But if you're listening to this one, I'm Richard, hello, and this...
is Anthony, hello.
We would have other people here to review this. We would have Steve, but he copped out and didn't watch the whole movie. And we would have Abby... but she copped out and didn't watch the whole movie. Admittedly, she got halfway. Steve got about 10 minutes in. Shabby Steve. He's currently in the other room looking at us record this and hanging his head in shame.
To be fair, after having watched the film myself, I can understand that I'm not getting through the film.
In some countries, it is a form of torture. And the film, as you probably know, because you're probably reading like the title of this, it's online, you know what it is. It's Toys, the film Toys. Starring Robin Williams and Anthony, please fill in the rest because that's all I got.
Cast, we've got Robin Williams, as you said, playing the lead. Michael Gambon playing the villain. Others are Joan Cusack, Robin Wright, and LL Cool J. And a few other people that
small,
you might know.
Small cameo from Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, that's about it. Made in 1992. And I've got a plot outline here. When a military general inherits a toy-making company... and begins making war toys, his employees band together to stop him before he ruins the name of Zevo Toys forever. Which isn't the best plot outline ever.
What was Robin Williams' name? I don't remember. I just saw Robin Williams.
Leslie Zevo, he plays in this.
Okay, right. Yeah, so, you know, where do we begin with this masterpiece of cinema?
Oh, my God. I don't get this. I don't get it.
Yeah. Like, in a nutshell, it's essentially a movie about Robin Williams' character, Zevo, the Zevo family's toy company, being put in the hands of one of the relatives who's from the military.
Yeah.
And dealing with the problem of that. But it's not anything to do with that, really, because it's just horrible... surreal madness.
Just strung together moments of surrealism.
It's like a horror. It's like a fever dream. A horrible fever dream. Nothing quite makes sense. It's all kind of scary. And you wake up in a hot sweat and go, thank goodness that wasn't real. Only in this case, it is a movie. That's how I'd sum it up as like a plot.
Yeah. I wouldn't say there's much of a plot to be honest with you at all. It tries at a plot. It tries to have this plot where Robin Williams is kind of like the naive, doesn't really understand how to run a company thing. So they get like this military uncle in to run the whole toy company. And then you think like the film's going to be about Robin Williams learning...
growing up a bit.
Yeah, but... growing up a bit and learning the things he needs to, in order to run the company truly. But then that never happens because at the beginning, all his sensibilities and ideologies and the way he works... fits perfectly well with the company, and then by the end, he's exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the point?
Yeah, at the start, you're introduced to the father who's dying, poor Dab, and he's like a kind of kooky toy shop. He's like a crap Willy Wonka type of toy factories, and he has a wonderland of, like, factory loveliness that he's leaving to, you know, his family, and he decides that the military brother, who is terrible... and does a terrible job, would be the best person instead of Robin Williams, who's the obvious choice to run the factory and has no problems. And this film is flawed because it doesn't get that. And then it presents loads and loads of visuals that are scary and horrible.
Nightmare fuel. Oh.
Yeah. So where do we... Right. So more specifically, it starts off with the introduction
it's
of the characters.
No.
Oh,
it
that's
starts
right.
off with the most random, pointless scene ever.
Yeah.
It's like 5 minutes of this meticulously perfect school
Christmas
pageant thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's too perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the Hollywood of a Christmas children's play. It's ridiculous.
Of the Christmas plays I've been in and I've seen, they usually are terrible, with kids fluffing their lines, crying, running off, just genuinely being terrible, and about 40 dads all video cameraing it. But this one is just, you know, they got the factory workers all at this play. I don't know if the kids are their children or what, but they all have amazing, meticulous costumes, like you say. They're doing ballet. It's like the most like incredible Christmas show.
Santa comes down on an airplane. There's a huge Christmas choir up a Christmas tree.
Yeah, it's
and it's got nothing to do with the rest of the film. Yeah. At all.
It's not even set at Christmas particularly. Like, whenever they're outside, it seems like a perfectly normal day. Yeah. Like, sunshine and those weird Teletubby rolling hills that are outside the factory for some reason.
I think it's supposed to be... Like, the whole film is all about kind of childhood innocence and yeah. laughter and playing and stuff. And I guess Christmas is kind of like the antithesis of that.
Yeah.
So... And it bookends the film, but it's just totally pointless yeah. at the end of the day.
It is. And kind of, it creeps me out. Especially the yeah. kids dressed as baubles. And the one who looks like a gingerbread man. And it's just like, this is horrible. Like, there's being Christmassy, and then there's just grotesque, overly Christmassy.
And the creepy never really stops yeah. in this film either.
So after that, we get the setup, which is that this quirky toy factory owner dies, and he's hilarious because he's got like his pacemaker hooked up to a silly hat that yep. spins to let him know that he's gonna die. Yeah. Hilarious. And he gives his factory to Michael Gambon, weirdly.
Playing
didn't expect
an American.
Him to be in this.
Yeah.
he's that weird he's part American, part British, and they kind of play up on his silly accent.
Yes.
Because he's got that, what's it called, an international, what's it called when you have like an accent that's sort of affected by both?
I don't know. It's just not very good.
So he's half American, half English sounding, and he's a 4-star general.
Yes.
And he doesn't really get why he's been given the factory of quirky toys. And he has a look around, and he gets to meet all of his relatives that he sort of knows but doesn't fully. Robin Williams, being the eccentric... like you say, lead character, is... how would you, like, describe him as a person?
I don't know. I would have thought, like, a good way to do it would be, like, the kids, like, the son and daughter, are still children themselves, even though, you know, they're middle-aged.
Yeah.
But throughout the film, they do certain things, like talking about sex and swearing and stuff yeah. like that, which
that was
really...
Weird. What rating was this?
I'm not sure. The swearing and some of like the peril, I would have guessed like a 12.
It was probably a PG, like given that, you know, it's supposed to be like a kid-friendly thing with a bit of language in. I don't know, it's weird though. It just strikes you as odd that they say like hell and shit and get laid. He just says
throws
that
swear.
In. That's not, I can.
You can't.
This is a 18 podcast because we say the word schlong and are a little bit racist. No, we're not racist. We could swear a bit, do bleep it. They
okay.
should have bleeped
okay.
it.
Okay. Moving
we
on.
Can bleep it, it doesn't matter.
Moving on.
Yeah, so they swear, they say these words, and it just sort of juts out of you like, this doesn't feel right for what kind of movie this is. And
which then it's like, what was the point of this movie? It's kind of, who is it aimed at?
Yeah, because adults don't need this kind of patronising stuff, and kids would be scared of it if I watched it, you know, when I was a kid.
That's why I just don't get this film. I don't understand what they were trying to achieve. Yeah. I can't see the vision of what this film was supposed to be.
Yeah. So we carry on walking around the factory, seeing the areas, which are kind of limited. There aren't that many. There's like a corridor of like a factory area that has the most grotesque machines. You get the feeling they're trying to create a wonderland.
Yeah.
But really, it's horrible. Like, there's conveyor belts going around horrible, just... Like,
there's like a giant like face which with the mouth open. There's like a giant hand which clenches.
Yeah, they're all horrible colours. They all have bits jutting out of them.
Oh, the colours of the film. They're so subdued, pastel,
yeah.
horrible colours.
All the colours that no one uses.
Yeah.
They decided are the best colours to like put in this. It's just, yeah, it kind of themes the factory workers and some of the rooms. And it's got just that grotesque palette of yucky pastels. And you just kind of go, if you'd have made this nicer... If you'd have actually, that would have saved it a bit.
Yeah, a bit
if
more vibrant.
If the set design was genuinely charming and lovely, you'd forgive the slightly flawed plot. But no, it's horrible and nightmarish. And all the factory workers are kind of like scarily innocent, and they have just like poncy music to make you feel like
that music. Oh, when you first come into the factory, they're playing this creepy music.
And this is where we lost our
happy
producer, Steve. He gave up.
Happy workers working working happy. I don't know.
Yours is less creepy than theirs. Is it like, I don't know. It's, yeah. So you get a feel for the factory. You get to see, there's like, there's not that, there's the, for some reason, they have a room, the Christmas pageant room, which has like a fake city, like cardboard, like sort of set city. Yeah. That's one room in a factory. The conveyor belts that make horrible toys. There's the dining room. There's a room.
There's
with
the weird bumpy corridor.
Yeah, they have a cloudy corridor with hills that they drive down. Don't know why. And I'm running out of rooms now. There's a few other testing rooms and things, but fundamentally, it's not a very large and exciting factory. Considering we don't see a lot of it, if there is more, so it's such a weird design. It's like they should have had more to it than that, but it's horrible. So I'm glad there was less. Yeah. We get to meet the Robin Williams' sister, who tries
Alsatia, which I couldn't. It was every time I was thinking of her name, it was just Alsatian.
Yeah,
what kind of a name is that?
It is a weird one. Anyway. She's weird. That makes sense in terms of that she. She likes wearing clip-on doll toys, like large women-size clip-on doll toys and funny wigs, because that's good, and that's like a good joke.
Yeah, she's
innocent and kind of kooky.
Yeah, and kind of the point of her, again, is kind of, she's only there just to be random and strange.
Yeah. And we also get introduced to, I don't know, the lackey of the boss. What's the guy? The guy who plays Toodles from Hook. He's just an old man who does admin or something.
I don't know. He's just... I guess he's the father figure.
He doesn't play enough of a role to be that.
To be anything, really.
So, yeah, Gambon is taking this in and kind of sickened, as the audience is, as to how horrible the factory is. But also, he doesn't get it because he's, like, obsessed with military victories and war.
Yeah, the way that everyone acts is kind of different... It's kind of like the Willy Wonka thing, where like you go into like the chocolate factory and they're doing really, really strange, unnecessary things to try and make the chocolate taste better.
Yeah,
and then it's the same thing here. You know, you come in and people are acting weird and they're all being different. So that's the kind of effect I suppose they're trying to go for.
But well, actually, the first thing that struck me is they're trying to say that Robin Williams is too immature to run the factory. And yet, when we meet him, he's having a board meeting about some of the like joke toys they have. Like, they have giant ears and like pretend invisible dog like things. And they're watching a video and they're like discussing with the other factory workers like the pros and cons and doing a regular factory job. And Gambon has no idea what's going on and like doesn't get it. So it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's where it falls flat. There's no reason Robin Williams couldn't have just become the boss.
Yeah, so essentially Gambon gets it in his head that he is more interested in making war toys because there aren't any. They're all kind of horrible elephants and small dolls. And
yeah, very like innocent, proper like oldie toys, like spinning tops and dolls and stuff like that.
The kind that creep you out that you find in your gran's house that you're like, oh.
Yeah, all of them. There are no like nice toys in this film.
So Gambon's on this mission to make war toys and is doing little bits of research into it on his own.
Yeah.
And
there's a big message, like a seemingly message about video games in this.
Mm.
How like children are desensitized by video games, which is kind of thrown in the middle somewhere.
Yeah. But they don't really make a full-blown message on either kids like video games.
Yeah. And it's like they kind of start off with a message and then it's like, well, it's just part of the plot now. It's not really a message anymore. The general thing is that he wants to use kids playing video games to control actual military vehicles.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah. It's one of those plans. It's just watertight. I can't believe that you haven't done it in real life. Of course. There's no flaws there. It'll be cheaper, of course. It'll save the army loads of money to employ kids. I'm stupid. Shut up, Michael Gambon. And they proceed with this. And it's like, okay, I'll get on board. You're going to do that. And that's the jeopardy, is Robin Williams is being kept... He's, like, being kept out of the secret.
Yeah.
Gambon's got, like... He's starting to take over the factory and keep restricted areas from the rest of his family in the factory and somehow employing other people who we don't see to run the factory and make these war toys, like, these weaponized toys and also make video games that actually control weapons and train children to be good at it or something.
Yeah. And then obviously, after a while, they find out, and they're like, well, this isn't very good, is it? We've got to stop it.
Yeah, so a lot of it is about Robin Williams teaming up with a few people to find out what's going on in the restricted area. Ooh, one thing we missed out. Another character who gets injected into the plot for some reason is Michael Gambon's son, who is a military guy. He's black for some reason. They don't really address it. I guess it's like a, isn't it weird? You weren't expecting that. And yet, okay, I guess he could have a black son if his wife was black. Why not? And he's got this military son. And they do some quite funny jokes with him.
Yeah, it's like the only actual proper funny jokes, recurring jokes, come from LL Cool J. Yeah. About his character is a proper military guy who is, like, always on the job.
Yeah. And he wears insane, like, camouflage suits that aren't, you know, not just camouflage, but he, like, blends in as a couch. He blends in as, like, the walls, which are bright red in one room. That's one of the things. Their house is a pop... Like, it's...
They're
like,
so... There's no way to do this review without it being so random.
Yeah.
Because the film is just so...
Yeah.
We're going to remember bits.
And then we're just better to say them than forget that they happened.
Let's get the plot out of the way first, then we'll talk about the bits. Okay. So where are we? So we've got Robin Williams. He's teaming up with all his friends to take down the general. So they and storm the factory.
Yeah.
Where they are then attacked by all these war toys.
Yeah. A big kind of epic battle ensues between the ugly toys, which are used as kind of decoys to save the humans. That's what's weird, is Gambon decides he's going to kill his family with his weaponized toys, and they're running around the corridors, and they eventually have this epic, insane battle.
With all the toys, like a proper war between the toys. And it's not kind of like a fun thing. It's a
dark,
like emotional,
traumatizing.
It's quite horrible if you think about it.
Yeah,
because they've got all these old toys which represent like the old ideology of the factory, and then they just send them out to war to essentially die.
Yeah,
just to protect them.
Although Robin Williams does give a rather heartfelt speech to the toys, which is it's kind of funny when he does that, and you kind of go, yeah, that's a funny moment. Okay, tick. But yeah.
And then while this is going on, he goes to confront Michael Gambon in the aforementioned city, which is there. And then he's in an airplane, and...
Yeah.
And then he takes him out, and then they're both in an airplane, and...
Robin Williams somehow gets into the toy aeroplane, crashes through the window of the office where Michael Gambon is.
Actually, this is the only time the beginning relates to any of the film. Yeah. It's because Santa is shown in a plane, and then they use that plane at the end of the film.
Didn't make any sense. That
was the only point of that scene at the beginning.
Yeah. Also, why couldn't it have been, like, Santa's sleigh? That would have been... Why did it have to be a plane?
Yeah. Because
it didn't make sense.
So then Michael Gambon's plan is foiled and everything goes back to how it was.
Hooray. We're not dead and the factory is
and
rebuilt.
No one's really learned anything that wasn't really obvious in the beginning.
Yeah. You just want to go, hold up, think about it, and then decide again. And then that would have saved the whole movie. So yeah, that was the premise, is Robin Williams saves the day.
But I will give this one film one thing.
What?
It is memorable.
So many bits that are just, it what is was memorable. That about? It's really random, but it's just full of these fucking, oops. It's full of these stupid things that just, okay, let's go through some of the things we recall being completely mad or just odd about it. Because some of it was just the rooms. They have a house, like I was going to say earlier, that's a fold-out, like a pop-up house.
Yeah.
It's sort of an optical illusion pop-up house. The front comes down and it pops out the front, whereas really the house is inside.
Kind of like they're living in a giant toy house themselves.
Yeah. So that's where they live. It's just in a... It's like the factory's there and the house is... It's just a big hilly area, like Teletubby Land. And that's all we really see is those two locations and maybe a bit of one of the other characters' house. And... In the house, they have lots of rooms in rooms and things. There's like a dollhouse that's mocked up exactly the same as the room.
Mm-hmm.
And they dine in a room where all the seats are little townhouses. Like there's the mayor's house and like the church or the hill. Like the hill? Like just lots of little classic town houses as seats. And the whole rest of the walls are red. Vibrant red. I don't know why. Couldn't they have painted like the scene of a town? No, just red, intense red. It's just, why?
No, dear.
Why?
Everything is just so random. Like, I had a point, but I've forgotten it now.
It's all right.
Sorry about that.
There's the steps into the office of the owner.
Yes, the most pointless stairs.
that are on wheels.
They're like, yeah, it's like a giant toy with wheels where you just push it. But for some reason, the stairs are about 10 feet away from where they should be, and then they just move.
Yeah, it's
hilarious. And they're never referred to again. I think the weird thing is, at the start, all these weird things are happening, and then people are acting like they're normal.
Just ignoring it.
But then after a while, they start to notice that some of these things aren't normal, which then kind of breaks down like their little universe.
Totally.
That they've made.
It would have been okay if they'd just thrown every now and again something weird happens and everyone just acted like it was normal. But they don't. They spoil that. I mean, in Willy Wonka, they have like a pointless drive down a corridor in a foam machine.
Yeah.
But that's funny and has a logical, funny joke to it. Whereas the steps are just thrown in. And there's loads of moments that you kind of go, was it funny enough to bother with? There's a good bit when they're down the corridor, the hilly corridor of grass and clouds, where some like little, they just get stopped in their kind of golf vehicle thing, and some ducks come out of the wall. A family of ducks, like toy ducks, walk through the wall and go out through the other wall, and they carry on talking and act like it's normal.
Yeah,
okay, funny, weird, unexplained, but funny. Like, there's just loads of bits that
it's just a collection of random moments, which when you think about them afterwards, don't seem to kind of, like you said, it is a fever dream. Just all these images and put together, and you can't quite make sense of them once you're thinking back on them.
There's an odd scene where Michael Gambon's trying to keep secret the military stuff, and he decides to have a meeting outside, and then have walls put around them, and all of these old general types are in their pants.
Yeah,
and they're getting X-rayed as well. And you said to me, like, why are they being x-rayed?
Why are they naked if they've got an x-ray which can see through their clothes?
Exactly, that's what I mean, yeah. And they do a weird, like, oh, there's a scissors or like some kind of surgeon thing in one of the old men's chest. And it's like, ha ha ha, a huge scissors is in his chest and he should be dead. And then Michael Gambon strangles one of them and we carry on. There was no point to that scene. And yet there it was, sitting in the middle of the film for no good reason. I don't know.
The film has no consistency of tone. Throughout, it starts off like Steve was talking about it just now, and he stopped watching because the first half was so kind of like kid orientated,
yeah,
and it seemed like a kiddie film. But then there's moments where there's quite a bit of peril, and like it looks like a specific scene where like Robin Williams is like drowning and could possibly be like eaten and killed by an unknown creature,
which comes up later in the film. And it turns out Michael Gambon, for some reason, has engineered a robot slug monster.
Yep.
Don't know why he did, but he did. And it's come and it's attacked him and the sister. The sister is attacked at the end. Turns out she's a robot.
Yep.
Threw that in.
That was the proper... That's my favourite moment of the film, is when you realise like his sister's a robot. Because first of all, you get the like, what? She's a robot. But then... the way she's acted, it becomes the most sensible thing in the whole film. It's the thing that most makes sense.
They set it up slightly. They imply that she couldn't inherit the factory for some reason. They don't allude to it. And then it's like, oh, it's because she's a robot.
There's hints all the way through.
Yeah.
And then it becomes this big revelation, which... a main character turning out to be a robot is the most sensible thing in the film.
Yeah. Like you say, there's clues throughout, but one of her things is she eats weird sandwiches. She has bread with tablets in, or bread with mayonnaise.
Like white things.
Yeah. Why is that robot food?
I don't know.
That's not hinting she's... Like, if she like had... She doesn't eat food while everyone else does. Okay, that makes sense. But she eats weird food. I don't understand what was the logic there at all?
That's a good sentence. I don't understand. Can be applied to a lot of this film.
And then those weird adult moments where just Robin Williams hooks up with a love interest in the film. And for some reason, the factory has a duplication room, or photocopy room, as we'd call it, in normal land, full of like colourful paper. And Michael Gambon's little army of...
SS, which he sets up. Yeah, he sets up like a security force, but all dressed in like black SS Nazi kind of uniforms.
Yeah, and they're in like sort of, I don't know, they're forcing themselves on all the factory workers for purposes unknown. Yeah. And he's hassling this duplication woman who is being forced to photocopy her face with him. Robin Williams comes in and says, what the hell's going on? Even though, I don't know why he's swearing. He comes in and meets her for the first time, and she's set up then as a bit like him. She's kind of... She yeah. has ADHD... she has attention deficit disorder as well. So they both spout gobbledygook nonsense at each other. They just ramble off yeah, jokes.
Which is
stuff.
Weird, because like, their first meeting, they're like talking to each other for like... It goes on for a while, 10, 15 minutes over like two scenes.
Yeah.
And they're acting like children.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, Robin Williams makes a joke about sex.
Yeah. Just really creepy.
Like a really creepy, obvious joke about getting laid. Yeah. It's like...
He literally just whips out a puppet of a devil, says he wants to get laid, and then puts the devil down, and they go back to talking normally, and it's like, creepy.
Yeah.
Like, kids aren't going to get that, and I am freaked out by that. And then later on, they actually do hook up with each other in another pointless scene where they go back to her place. He instantly succeeds in getting laid. Cut to a security force outside that Michael Gambon has set up to spy on them.
Spying on them, yeah. Spying them with a little robot.
Yeah. And in that van is Jamie Foxx making a cameo of a small, pointless amount.
Yep.
With another guy who, I don't know who the other guy was, but they just watch. And isn't it funny? Because the bra goes on the robot and they can't see the action going down. And then somehow the robot ends up flying out the window. Hilarious. What a great scene to add. It added so much.
The most pointless scene of the whole film is when they have to get into... They have to find a way to distract the security guards so they can get into the secret areas.
Yeah.
So what they do is set up a giant screen and a set in one of the corridors.
Yeah.
Change one of the signs on the camera security things to MTV.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And reenact a 80s
music video
in order to distract the guards.
Yeah. There's so many levels to why this is weird. Like, it's meant to be a kind of silly joke, but it makes no sense.
Yeah, that's the way they set up the whole staging of it takes so much time, and the guards aren't watching the cameras while they're setting it up.
Yeah,
they could have just gone down the corridor.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
They got all these monitors. They set one of them with a sticker to MTV, and they all start watching this thing they think is a music video, but. The way they do it is they wheel in the background of the, they reel in like wheel in a copy of the corridor so it looks like the rest of the corridor. They could have just snuck around the back and looked in the room. No, let's put on a music video with pre-packaged, already edited footage of us in red suits doing weird things and having effects. It's just a really effect-heavy video, and there's lots of practical set pieces, and they actually sing live for like ages. And then Robin Williams, he doesn't even go down camera and off through the music video, which might have made sense why they had to set that up. He goes back behind the set anyway. It doesn't make any sense to get... Why isn't there a camera in the room he's going into? There's so many stupid problems with it. It's a good job. It's hilarious. Because I would be very, very... I'm very cross anyway. It wasn't that funny. It was kind of like the Talking Heads meets the Pet Shop Boys in style.
Yeah, I suppose.
And it's just a weird joke that sits there and makes you go, why? Ah, what else? There must have been. Have we covered the main ridiculous moments?
Yes. There's so many more. There's so many more in my mind. Like the scene where they're in a room examining fake sick.
Yeah.
And the walls just start closing in on them.
There's no reason for it to be a room that's made out of squares. They don't set... It's not like a theme in the factory.
No, yeah.
It just is squares. And, okay, they're analysing sick thing. There's lots of pretend sicks, like, because they make joke shop toys. And it's like, that's kind of funny, talking about that. Like, Gambon's taking over the place and all the rooms are getting smaller. And it's like, okay, there's kind of a joke, but it's mainly bizarre. It's just, you haven't quite made a joke so much as you've done a weird thing. And that's probably a lot of the problems with it, is it's... This is weird and not a punchline. I don't get it. I don't get it.
And there's a lot of moments where Robin Williams is being Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And doing that kind of fast-paced kind of comedy.
Yeah, he does a lot of...
Which doesn't always land.
Yeah, it's like it's the offcut of his stand-up material that he didn't use. Occasionally, I found myself chuckling at a bit of the banter. Oh, but for everyone that is funny, there's about seven other lines that you're just like, are you okay? You just have ADHD, ADD, and now I'm worried for you. what is going on?
Yeah, and then his relationship with the woman is so tacked on. And they try to have this plot thread where his father... kind of from like beyond the grave is trying to set them up as a couple.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you just don't buy it.
It is weird. It's almost salvageable as a plot. If it had been more akin to the kind of Willy Wonka adventure about a guy learning to grow up, it would have made sense.
If they went for like pure kids light entertainment film. Yeah. That could have worked. Or if they went for a more kind of serious, creepy, kind of Tim Burton-y kind of feel, I guess. Then that could have been successful. But they mash in a horrible way, which is really creepy.
Speaking of creepy, we haven't covered enough of the creepy. The toys that they make anyway are pretty creepy. Gambon makes weaponized toys. He does sensible things to me, like I'd say, where he, like, I don't know, a doll with a pram. Oh, it's got a hidden minigun in it. Okay, that's a weapon. It's a toy. Makes sense. But there's two others that I particularly like that attack the family members.
I know exactly which ones you're thinking about.
One of them is a bouncy ball that then unfolds to reveal a kind of...
Hula girl playing a guitar.
And that's got a gun in the end of the guitar. And that's... It kind of looks hideous and it's scary.
That is the creepiest one, I think. Because it starts off with, like, the ball just bouncing.
Which is kind of
following
sinister.
Someone, which is really sinister. And then it just kind of stops. Hmm. And then opens up to reveal something inside.
Yeah.
And it becomes, like, this really... It's supposed to be, like, a really cute-looking kind of hula girl doll. But it just turns out it's really creepy. And then it dances towards him really sinisterly. Yeah. Oh, the creepiest.
Nightmares is what you'll get.
Nightmare feel.
But the other one scares me more because it's like just a regular looking doll that its head opens up to reveal a horrible toy blue man that then his mouth opens, but it opens not enough. And a huge gun stretches out of his mouth. And it kind of stretches the blue guy's head. And it's just horrible. It's like something out of Videodrome, not like toys.
It's more David Cronenberg, yeah.
Yeah. And it's frightening. It's very frightening. And there's other, like, there's robots that are kind of tanks, and, you know, there's a few other more sensible things, like helicopters that shoot real rounds and stuff. And like we say, there's a big epic war battle towards the end where the horrible toys fight the war horrible toys. And some of those toys are really creepy. Like, there's a little girl who has a dog holding her, like, skirt, and they saw it's like a wind-up toy that just walks about, and there's like an ugly football player. These are the regular toys. Like, the ugly football player who moves and is grotesque. I don't know. This is horrible, horrible stuff.
Ugh. And yeah, I still found this film quite entertaining, despite it being terrible.
And the fact that Michael Gambon's trying to kill his family when he could just trap them or something. I don't know.
So it's like we've been complaining about this film, but it is really memorable and kind of entertaining because it is so random.
I guess so. Like, it's kind of, you can watch it for the oddity.
It's not a good film.
It's like if David Lynch did kids' movies, it's probably like a trippy dream sequence gone wrong.
It's not a good film in any...
capacity.
In any capacity, but it is memorable, and in that way it's entertaining, I guess.
Yeah. The last moment of weirdness is right at the very, very end. Like, after all of the nonsense has ended, you hit the credits and you think, okay, that was weird. And just as I was about to hit it off, another thing happened, and they had set up that there's a gravestone of the father who died, who's the quirky factory owner, and his gravestone is...
Like a giant blue elephant.
A toy elephant thing that blows bubbles.
Yeah, like a memorial kind of thing. It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, because they have a funeral scene where there's like loads of funny jokes in his coffin, and he has like a laugh that continues to go off even though he's dead. And yeah. But this giant elephant bubble blower takes off and flies away as
over the
hovering
Teletubby
about.
Fields.
And I don't know if it symbolises something, like the father has done his job of ruining his factory, like nearly killing all of his family. Michael Gambon is defeated We didn't even talk about the weird, creepy five-star general grandfather who Michael Gambon meets in a field hospital within a
within a giant
room.
Hall in, yeah. in a giant house.
There was one joke.
There's many things that we haven't mentioned.
There was one joke I liked from that though, where the first thing like the old general does is he turns a light on, and Michael Gambon's like, "Yes, I know you're a 5-star general. I'm a 4-star general." And I was like, "Oh, well done, film. You made me chuckle." And then they proceed to have a weird conversation that only Michael Gambon can understand. And oh, there's so many bits. So just, you know, I hope you guys have watched it because you know, it is that weird that you kind of. What we're saying does not explain anything. It just tells you how weird it is.
This review, shall we say, if you can call it a review, is because of the film is so random, this review can't be structured in any normal way because of it.
Yeah. If you are still listening and have seen the film, if there's anything you thought about it, or if you understand it better than we do and you think we've missed a key element that makes it brilliant, you know, get on Facebook and let us know at CVC Radio.
Yeah. Or can just explain to us what it's about. What's the point? What are the messages?
Any thoughts, go to our Facebook and let us know. And we will mention you in future things. And if you're not going to mention it or you haven't got a clue, then, you know, I just sorry for you and us. I'm sorry for us. What did we do to ourselves? Steve, you're a jammy sod for not watching this. Oh, Steve as well. He ordered it like on DVD. For some reason, the Mad Max. Was it Blu-ray or DVD, Steve? DVD. And he got a free tin of cards that are, I say themed like toys. It just had Robin Williams on the back and they were square and in a tin. So now he has that and he hasn't even seen the film.
Hmm.
Idiot.
Oh, well.
Jay, if you want it, by the way. Thanks, no, Steve, you but keep we don't want it.
You keep it.
Right. Let's put this this review to bed. Any last thoughts?
Oh... I don't get it.
No.
I don't get it.
No. It is that odd. Yeah.
That's toys, guys.
What the F?
But next time we'll do something. We'll do something better. We'll have some action.
Okay, that's goodbye from me.
See ya.
Bye.